So I've been struggling with this particular topic in regards to Buddhism and environmentalism. And I don't have what I would consider like a completed talk because the problem that has been on my mind and that I wanted to talk about tonight is not a resolved problem. It's an open-ended kind of a problem, but I think it's a problem that we're all going to have to deal with. And that is that it looks like it's pretty certain that we're headed towards some kind of ecological catastrophe. I mean, if we think we're not, then we're in denial. I mean, all the scientific evidence is that something bad's going to happen. The only question is, what is it, when is it, when is the sequence of it, and that sort of thing. But we know the climate's changing, and it's going to change more significantly. Some people think that there'll be a slow transformation until there's some sort of tipping point, and then suddenly a lot of stuff will break, and patterns will change, and things will be very difficult. Some ice shelf will break off in Antarctica, or some ocean current will change significantly and not change back, or there'll be some tipping point in the acidity of the ocean, or, you know. I mean, there are multiple possibilities that are out there. And so what this makes me think of is sort of like getting older and older and knowing you don't have enough money to retire and knowing there isn't much of anything you can do about it. I mean, you could save a little bit of money, but you could spend 20 years saving a little bit of money, and that will give you enough to live on for 6 months or something. And so, what is the point, kind of thing, you know? And so there's something out there, and you know it's there, and but there's nothing you can do about it. But the other thing you know about that sort of situation is that it's a consequence of your own life choices. You know, like if you had married the shyster lawyer who was making piles of money, and maybe you wouldn't be thinking about that problem, but you would have had a different kind of life, and you didn't choose that life because you didn't want to be married to a shyster lawyer, or, you know, I mean, whatever the case may be. I mean, that's an extreme kind of concept, but I think you understand what I mean. So I've been thinking about it for obvious reasons because I'm retiring. And you know, these things are just there. So the situation with the environment, in a funny sense, is like that. And actually, you know, in more ways, I think, than we think about. Because, I mean, whatever is going to happen is going to happen as a lawful consequence of all that's come before. I mean, we know that the basis of Buddhist thought is causality, usually described as dependent origination, but it is causality. The Buddha taught the Four Noble Truths as people don't want to be unhappy, and there's a cause of unhappiness. When you understand the cause of unhappiness, you remove the cause of unhappiness, and these are the techniques for removing the causes of unhappiness. You'd be happy. Very straightforward. Usually it's translated as suffering rather than happiness, but it's the same thing. So, you know, we know that there are life choices which get us to the place of retirement where, you know, things are difficult because of decisions that we made in our life. And this is not to say good, bad, or indifferent. It's just to say there is a starting point, and then there's another point in time. And what happens at one point bears some relationship to what one did earlier. But we also know that there are collective forces that are totally outside of our control. So I know lots of people who were, you know, frugal, good savers, and did all the right things and put their money in these kinds of savings accounts that were necessary and whatnot. And then we have the forces that created the financial meltdown of 2008, and suddenly they can't afford to retire where they expected they could, and that's totally outside of their individual control, that there's some larger pattern of what's happening. And yet we also know that that was created by human beings. It wasn't like a meteor, you know, struck the earth, and it just happened to smash Wall Street and the stock exchange, and suddenly kablooey, and well, I mean, that wouldn't make any difference, I suppose, fundamentally, but metaphorically, and then kablooey, and you don't have any money. And it wasn't anything in human agency, it was like a meteor that struck the stock exchange. That's not what happened. You know, it was human forces that were at work that created that situation. And most of those human forces had to do with greed, we know that, and a lack of concern for other human beings. It's the usual sort of situation we see when these things happen. So these are all kind of interesting metaphors that I've been thinking about for the environmental situation that we're looking at. Because on the one hand, each of us has some responsibility for what's happening. And on the other hand, there's a collective process at work which is greater than any individual, and there's responsibility in that. But it's all lawful. It's not hard to figure out what the relationship is between the parts. What's difficult is figuring out what to do about it. But it's probably not any more difficult than figuring out what to do about, you know, the general human condition of unhappiness and transforming it into enlightenment. There aren't a whole lot of Buddhas around, so it's obviously not a very easy thing to do. So there are parallels here. So the reason I've been thinking about this is, what are we all going to be feeling like when the stuff hits the fan? I mean, are we going to be feeling guilty? We're going to be freaked out. Now, some people think, well, you know, it's probably the tipping point. If there's a tipping point, it's 20 or 30 years off in the future, I'll be dead. Of course, that depends upon your view of life and death as to whether or not you're going to be dealing with that, because you might be a 10-year-old that's dealing with that in 30 years, or a 20-year-old that's dealing with that in 30 years, or you might be a 90-year-old that's dealing with that in 30 years. I mean, I don't know which situation would be more difficult, you know, but depending upon your worldview, you could be dealing with it. Now, of course, the worldview of people who think it's perfectly okay to rip off the larger mass of humanity for their own personal gain, which is a lot of what people were doing, and people saw what they were doing, they knew what they were doing, are certainly people who don't believe that there are consequences for their actions. They're the kind of people who believe you live and then you die. They don't believe in heaven, they don't believe in hell, they don't believe in future lives, they don't believe in consequences. So they act that way, right? Well, okay. That's the way it is. That's the way they act. Now, I don't happen to believe that that's the case. I do believe in consequences for everything I do. And when I look at every present situation I'm in, it's very hard to not look at it. Well, let me put it this way. It's easy to look at it and feel like, oh, poor me, I'm a victim of what's happening, rather than looking at a current situation, which one doesn't very much like, and say to oneself, well, this is the fruit of some past behaviors. I mean, if this is happening now, it's either happening as a lawful consequence of collective actions in the past, or it's not. Now, the thing about the Buddhist view of karma is you don't necessarily see a one-to-one relationship. I used to joke with my students that karma is not like you're walking down the street, you step on an ant on the sidewalk, that means you have to be reborn as an ant so somebody can step on you. That is not the way karma works. The way karma works is because everything is the result of causes and conditions, and those causes and conditions are the result of causes and conditions, which are the result of causes and conditions. Any action that happens is a consequence of an unimaginable complex sequence of relationships of things. It's, and you know, physicists understand this. They understand that if a leaf falls off a tree, that it ended up right over there is an absolute lawful consequence of some very complex sequence of causes and conditions and circumstances, but they cannot predict where that leaf is going to end up, because the complex of causes and conditions are so complex that it's unpredictable. But that doesn't make it unlawful. It is lawful, and they say it's lawful. So from the Buddhist point of view, any action that occurs, anything that happens in my life, is a lawful consequence of many things in the past. But one can't point specifically necessarily to what that is. So it sounds a little bit like one has to take it on faith that that's the case, because you can't see. It's not like if I'm walking down the street and I look up at the clouds because they're beautiful and I don't pay attention to what I'm doing and I trip going on the sidewalk because I don't see the curb. I mean, it's obvious what the relationship is. I'm looking at the clouds, I don't see the curb, I fall on the street. That's straightforward. But what we experience is not straightforward like that. So, you know, we have to take it on faith that things are lawfully related. But what's the alternative? You know, I mean, even Einstein said, I can't go for the alternative, which is that God plays dice with the universe, as he said. But of course, the quantum physicists said, well, but things are a little bit more complicated than that. But they never really said that they were unlawful, as far as I know. They just said they were unpredictable. They didn't say they were unlawful, which are two different things. Anyway, so what am I getting at here in this kind of difficult and roundabout way? All right. So what I'm getting at is, on the one hand, when things go bad, it will, if we're honest, we're going to have to recognize that as individuals, we bear some responsibility for whatever goes bad for us as individuals. We also have to recognize that there are much larger forces at work that are not specifically our responsibility, except to the extent that we're part of a collective. And then here's where it gets really weird, and this is the part where I haven't worked out a lot of stuff. We know that the Mahayana Buddhist view is that one makes some effort to think about the larger whole of human beings and animals and the world, and not just about oneself, which is to say that one makes an effort to engage in behaviors which reflect on that relationship with the larger whole, which reflect on the interdependence that one has with the larger whole, which is kind of really a very environmental or ecological consciousness to recognize all that. But it also seems to me that the more profoundly you recognize all of that, the more profoundly you recognize your connection with that larger whole mess, which on the one hand, you didn't create that mess, but if you recognize your relationship with that larger whole, you're kind of identifying with that larger whole mess, which is happening, and you're accepting kind of on some level some responsibility for that larger whole mess, which seems kind of unfair. You know, it's like, am I really responsible for the financial meltdown in 2008? Well, if I understand my interdependence with all of humanity and feel some sense of responsibility to be helpful, then in some way I am. In some way I'm obviously not. I mean, I didn't own any stocks in 2008, you know. I wasn't doing any sleazy deals with mortgages. On the other hand, there was a guy in town who was doing sleazy deals with mortgages, and I could have said something to him. Of course, he would have totally ignored me because he did his sleazy deals and then he closed up his business and left town. He wasn't going to pay any attention to anything I had to say. So I don't know. I don't exactly know where this goes. This is what I meant when I said this talk is a little odd for me, because I don't quite know where it lands at the end, you know. Because where I think it lands at the end is that somehow we're going to find ourselves, I suspect we're going to find ourselves in some ambiguous, ambivalent situation where what happens is real scary and real unnerving, and we're going to feel guilty, and we're not going to know what to do about it. and yet we're going to feel some level of responsibility, but we're not going to be able to do anything about what we're feeling. Now, I think, from what I understand in studying Buddhist practice and from reading some stuff the Dalai Lama has been writing about, is that's viewed as a time and an opportunity for practice. You know, for practice of understanding reality. And potentially as a time for making transformations. So obviously it's not going to be a time for making transformations in the global ecosystem. I mean, you know, I'm like the butterfly wing, maybe. Well, maybe that's a bad example because the butterfly wing is supposed to have, the butterfly in China is supposed to have an effect like a storm in the United States. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a good example. I don't know. Maybe that's true. But I'm thinking more like the transformation that might be possible is more a transformation of my own awareness in some way. Now, I have to admit that I'm really experimenting with what this means on the deepest level. I believe it to be true. I mean, I'm looking at situations in my own life which can only be understood as a manifestation of karma in relationship with some other people. Because there's certain patterns that are repeating themselves, certain things I'm looking at. They're not arbitrary. They have a certain quality to them. It's very clear that there's something from the past that's being worked out in the present. And since I'm on the wrong end of things by a certain definition, it seems like it has to be the case that I was the offending party in the past because I'm the offended party in the present. That seems logical. I suppose it's possible that there's a pattern repeating itself where I was the offended party in the past and the offending party is just doing their same routine all over again. I can't really answer that question. I don't really know. But it seems like an opportunity to understand that there is interdependence at work and that there is karma at work and that what's happening at a certain level is outside of my control. And yet at another level, there are ways that I can deal with it and react to it and not allow certain elements of the pattern to perpetuate themselves. And that's the place where I can practice. So if that's true in this, to me, huge situation that I'm dealing with in my life, even though on the planetary scope of things it's minuscule, then it seems to me likely to be the case that when really difficult stuff starts happening to us, that it's an opportunity for us to have a profound ability to practice and change ourselves. And maybe that has some influence on the larger process that's at work. I mean, it's not going to change the movement of the Gulf Stream. It's not going to put the Ross ice shelf back on Antarctica if it falls off, you know, or anything like that. But it may have some impact, some way, certainly on myself and maybe on the people around, and maybe that has some long-term consequences. I mean, when... This just popped in my mind, so I hope I get this straight. When it was clear in Ireland that Irish civilization, Irish Christian civilization, was potentially doomed, so maybe I don't have this right, but I think I do, the monks went to a small island called Lindisfarne, where they tried to keep together what they considered to be the essential quality, the nectar of their own civilization. And actually from Lindisfarne, a lot of that spread then into other parts of Europe. And so they succeeded in a certain way. And so maybe all of us will be little Lindisfarnes, if you will, at that time, that by changing ourselves in some way, we may bequeath something to the future that will need it. Because we don't know what that future is going to look like. So, you know, while it's perfectly possible that we slide into guilt and paralysis in the way that Joanna Macy talks about, being paralyzed in the face of the problems, while it's possible we could slide into that, it would be perhaps best if we didn't, because in that way we might be able to bequeath something to an unknown future. And the Dalai Lama talks about wise selfishness. So that unknown future might be our own future. Sometimes when I think about the things that I write, I think, well, I'm writing this for future generations. And I've often wondered if I'll read my own books in the future and wonder who that David Comito dude was who wrote this thing 500 years ago and had these experiences 500 years ago and wasn't that cool, not knowing that that was me. And who knows how often we've all had that experience when we've read something that we ourselves wrote or saw something we ourselves created in the past, if you believe in such things. So it might be that we're our own personal Lindisfarnes, not just for others, but also for ourselves in some sort of wise, selfish fashion. So I don't know. These are just some musings that have been turning around in my mind, a little unclear, obviously, and uncertain, and a little bit odd and scary. But, I mean, what do I know? I mean, the processes that are at work are huge, and they are very unnerving and concerning. Even for the Dalai Lama, some of the things that I've read, he says things like, you know, scientists tell us about things that are just incomprehensible that we all may be facing. And if the Dalai Lama says something's incomprehensible, I'm guessing it's really incomprehensible, because he's pretty smart and he has pretty clear vision about things. So I don't like leaving a talk on a negative note, you know. And I'm not trying to leave a talk on a negative note. When I talk about our being our own personal Lindisfarnes, I'm trying to think in a way that there is something that we can pass forward if we use the circumstances as an opportunity for transformation. I know in the last week when I was beside myself with anger and rage at a certain situation, I mean, so angry that I couldn't form coherent sentences to talk to other people. I had an extremely powerful meditation when I finally sat down and tried to do something with that anger, because that the energy within me was so intense that, you know, thank goodness I have enough history of practice that I can harness some little bit of that energy in some way that was a little bit positive. I won't say I transformed it into something positive as such, but some little bit of it I could. And I could see the impact of that in terms of my own clarity. So I know the possibility is there if we're up to it. Now, who knows who is and is not up to it? I don't know that I'm not up to it. I'm not saying that I am. But I think that the possibility is there. I hope the possibility is there. I believe the possibility is there. Let me put it that way. And let me end it on that note, which it doesn't sound very positive, but I hope it is kind of positive.